My name's Matt, and if you're visiting this morning, if maybe your family still from out of town with us, we just want you to know we are thrilled that you are spending this time with us this morning. And I want to talk with us just for a little while before we end this year and begin a new one. I want to ask you first, what's the most memorable Christmas morning you've ever had? The most memorable Christmas morning. Maybe it was when you were a kid, maybe it was in recent years. Could have been memorable because of a gift that you got or an event around that time, maybe even a loss. But what's the most memorable Christmas morning that you can remember? Can you think of one? One of the most memorable Christmas mornings for me was in 1986. I was just a kid, and my parents, for Christmas that year, gave me a boombox. Remember boomboxes? This was the 80s, so my boombox was big and boxy and a rectangle with two speakers on either side of a tape deck. And I was so excited to get that boombox, and it came along with this microphone that you could plug in, and I could record my sounds, whatever sounds those were going to be. I can still remember that big red Rudolph foam cover on the top of that microphone. I was so excited to open it up, and I immediately got a blank tape and stuck it in and started to record just the sounds of Christmas morning as the rest of my family opened their presents. And I did that partly because I was excited to try out this new gift, but also because that Christmas morning, my older brother was in the hospital. And he was fighting leukemia at that time in his life. And I can remember we were going to finish unwrapping our presents and then go to the hospital to be with him. And I wanted so badly to be able to play back for him the sounds of Christmas morning that he had missed. He was out of place that Christmas morning. You ever been out of place? He didn't want to be there. We didn't want him to be there. He was out of place, but we were going to be with him. Who's with you when you're out of place? Maybe you're not out of place today. Maybe you are right where you want to be. And I've had Christmases like that as well, when all was just as I hoped for. Maybe you're in a wonderful time in your life and you have everything that you could ask for or could need or could hope for. The end of the year is always a time for me to think about those kinds of things and ask those kinds of questions. Is everything as I hope it would be? Is there anything out of place in my life? Is there anything that needs to change or needs to be different in my life? And however you answer those questions, whether you are out of place right now or you're right where you want to be, I want us to consider this. Where will we find God in this new year, in 2015? And what does it mean for us where we will find Him? There's a verse in your bulletin. In fact, if you go ahead and take your bulletin, I want to look at it with you. It's a verse from Psalm 139. It's captured my attention the last month or so, and I want to look at it with you this morning. It's the only verse printed in your bulletin, and the reason for that is we're really going to focus on it this morning, but also because I would really encourage you to remember this verse, to put this verse to memory, and let these words really become part of the fabric of who you are and really become part of this new year for you, that you might even return to these words throughout the year. Jaime asked me this morning before the service started how I thought last night went. I said, I think it was fine. I think if people would just put these words to memory and forget everything else I say, I'll be happy. Just focus on these words. Psalm 139, verse 5 says, "You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head." Could we read that together? Ready? "You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head." What does it mean to live throughout 2015 with God right in front of you, right behind you, and with His hand on your life? Again, I encourage you to take that verse with you, meditate on it, and put it to memory. But before we look carefully at it, could I pray for us this morning? Let me pray for you. Well, Lord, I thank you for this time this morning. God, I thank you that for some of us, we have already sensed your nearness. We've already sensed your presence and your love for us. Lord, I pray for every single one of us, God, that before our time is done, before we leave this morning, that by your grace and by your Spirit, we might all have encountered you. We might all walk away with you on our minds, looking for you and following you. And I trust that you will lead us to that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this verse in Psalm 139 gets worded differently in different translations of the Bible. Though they all have the same basic meaning, some will say of the Lord, "You go before me and behind me and place your hand of blessing on my head." Others say of the Lord that you hem me in, like a seamstress sewing together fabric behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Think about being hemmed in. Think of being sewn into some kind of fabric, weaved into life with God. Other translations say he hedges me in and lays his hand upon me. There's a hedge around me. There's a fence that's been built around me, possibly a hedge of protection or some type of a boundary that God has placed around us. And another translation says, "You besiege me on every side," that we're surrounded by God, even ambushed by Him and placed under arrest in His presence. However it's worded, whatever picture is given to this verse, the verse tells us that God is very near to us. That God is not far away. He doesn't reject you and I, nor have we ever or will we ever outgrow or outmature our need for God. And He knows our great need, and that is why He is ready for us to turn to Him at any moment. So what does it mean for God to be in front of me and behind me? What does it mean for His hand to be on my life and your life? What does it mean that God surrounds us and sows us into life with Him? I want us to first look ahead, then I want us to look behind us, and then I want us to acknowledge God's hand this morning. So that's where we're going. So first, whether your life is out of place this morning or at the end of this year, or your life is everything that you hoped it would be, God has preceded us into this new year. He goes before us. He's in front. You and I have no idea what lies ahead for us this year, but we can be certain of one thing. God is already there. He has preceded us. There might be pain this year. There might be trouble. Probably there will be some conflict. Probably some unforeseen costs in 2015. Possibly even some loss. There will also be moments of hilarity and craziness and celebration in this coming year. You have no idea what you're going to end up laughing at in 2015, nor do you have any idea what will make you cry. But neither do we have any idea how God's mercy and strength and love will end up sustaining and uplifting us in this year. All that God has been, He still is, and He will be in this new year. And so on this last weekend of 2014, as we look ahead, I want us to look back at the beginning of this year and reflect on how you and I had no idea what lay ahead for us as a church family. On the last weekend of last year, the last weekend of 2013, seems like so long ago, I was here with you speaking, and I invited us, as Mark said, to pursue a goal together as a church family to help 120 people come to faith in Jesus and decide to follow Him. It was a goal that was really based on just this idea of, could a church about the size of about 3,000 of us, could we help 120 people come to faith? And when we set that goal, we had no idea how many people would make that decision. In fact, it was really more a hope than it was a goal. And as a church family, it was exciting for me in this new position of pastor of evangelism to watch all the different efforts that went on in our kids' church and our student ministries and Fusion, our young adults community. Our life groups were involved in women's ministries and men's retreat. We did a series of nights at Golden Road Brewing and another series of nights at Lucky Baldwin's for people to come and have conversations about Jesus. We did our Easter service at the Hollywood Bowl, all of our weekend services here, and on top of that, all of the conversations and prayers that many of you shared with some of your friends and family and neighbors, all of those efforts went towards us seeing and helping 120 people know God through a new commitment to Jesus. And when I first talked that idea over with Tom back in 2013, Tom said to me, "Well, Matt, just be ready in case the end of the year comes around and you have to announce that we didn't make our goal." And so here at the end of the year, as Mark mentioned, we were able to count 237 people who made that commitment to Christ. Yeah, it's amazing. 237 men and women, students and children, who made decisions to follow Jesus and trust Him to lead their lives. Now, here's what I want you to not miss in that. That number is not a score. That number will be forgotten. And there will be years when we might see that number again, and there will be years when we may not. But what will never be forgotten are the cries for mercy of those 237 people who came to points of grace in their lives when they turned to know their Savior and trust God. That will never be forgotten. 237 people who on January 1st of 2014 had no idea what lay ahead for them in this year. But our God had already gone before them. And He had marked a date on the calendar when they would acknowledge Him and receive His gift of new life. Let me tell you the story of one of those 237. A guy named Leo. And Leo was leaving work one day, and a co-worker of his named Robert was also leaving work. Robert is a follower of Christ and a member of the family here at our church. And Robert said to Leo, "Hey, Leo, a group from my church is meeting at a brewery tonight. Do you want to go get some dinner and find out what they're doing there?" And Leo said, "Yeah, sure, I'll go with you." So they went to the brewery, and we did these Wednesday nights at Golden Road Brewing, six Wednesday nights in a row, where we would just gather in the pub and eat dinner together and have conversations about Jesus. So Leo came with Robert, and the next week, Leo and Robert came back again. And the next week, Leo and Robert came back again, and they ended up coming for all 6 weeks. What Robert didn't know when he invited Leo to join him for dinner that night was that Leo had just recently lost his father. His dad had passed away. And Leo was in a time in his life where he had begun to wrestle with, what do I believe about life and about death and about God and about what we're here for? And some of those big questions of life. And a cousin of Leo's had contacted him and told him that he had gotten into some New Age practices, and he believed that he had been contacted by his deceased father and was kind of channeling him, and that his father wanted Leo to get involved in the same New Age practice. And he gave him a book. Leo had been reading this book and had been meeting with his cousin, and that's when Robert intersected him after work that day and said, "Hey, do you want to go get dinner with me?" Leo came about the third week into the series and began to share that story with us, and shared with Robert that he had thrown that book away and decided he didn't believe any of that, but he wanted to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and to follow him. Leo's one of those 237 people that made a commitment to Jesus this year because of someone, Robert, someone like you and I, who just said to him, "Come and discover the Savior that I know. Come and know the God that loves you." You might even be one of those 237 from the past year here with us this morning. And I want you to know that God is still right in front of you. That decision of faith, that commitment to follow him, was not just something in your past, but the Bible tells us that even today is still the day of your salvation, that God still is in front of you. He precedes you into this new year. Whatever lies ahead for us in 2015, God is right in front of each of us, and he goes before us. He's also behind us. Whether you are out of place at the end of this year or your life is everything you want it to be, God is right behind us. The verse we read says, he follows you. Now, we talk a lot about following Jesus because that's the invitation that he gives to every one of us. But what is this about God following us? It's a strange image. Well, you might have noticed this time of year in the grocery stores, the magazine racks are filling up with reviews of the past year. Have you seen those? All kinds of featured articles that are looking back over 2014. I noticed one the other day that had a well-known actress on the cover of. That's not why I noticed it, but that there was a quote of hers on the magazine that I noticed that said, "I don't do regret. I don't do regret." And that struck me as just shockingly arrogant. "I don't do regret." Can you imagine that? I know you've heard people say things like that. I have as well. They'll say, "I have no regrets." And when I hear that, I'm always astounded. It seems to me absurdly delusional that I might look around my life and not find any regrets, that I would never regret hurting anyone's feelings, that I would never regret some of the stupid choices that I've made in life. What possesses us to come to the conclusion that we have no regrets? I think the only thing I can conclude is that perhaps looking back at our past without a Savior is such a bleak and can be such a frustrating sight that we would rather ignore it, deny it, or blame others and justify it. And to be honest, I have felt a little like that before. Maybe you have as well. It's just too hard, too painful, too frightening to look back. It's easier to ignore it or to blame others, and eventually you just don't do regret anymore. Tom told a story a few years ago that has stuck with me in a sermon that he shared with us. He said there was a tribe of Native Americans that practiced a rite of passage when a young boy reached the threshold of manhood. The tribe would take the boy into a densely wooded area towards evening on a moonless night, and they would leave him there in the woods alone with no weapon for self-defense, no rations of food and water, no fire, no source of light. And the test of manhood would be that he would sit in these thick woods in utter darkness all night long alone. And the test was whether or not he would stay and face the fears of the unknown, or would he run home to the safety of fire and family. And so that boy would sit in those woods in utter darkness all night long alone, just waiting for the first glimpse of the rising sun to come shining through the trees. And when that moment finally came, at the first glimpse of light, that boy would look around and he would see something that he had not seen all night long, something that had been there all night, but he could not see it because of the darkness. The boy, at the first glimpse of light, would look behind him and see a man standing with an arrow drawn in his bow, his father standing over him, guarding over him all through the night, not letting anything happen to his boy. You see, when the one right behind you is for you and not against you, then you and I can turn, and even in the face of our sin and our regrets, we can trust God for salvation. Because God goes where you go. He follows you, and He is right behind you wherever you are. He is a forgiving and redeeming God, and He stands behind us, and He asks us to turn around before we follow Him. God's invitation to follow Him is to turn to the Savior who is already following us. And when we turn around, we see clearly our need for Him, because we see our sin and the trouble and the mistakes and the regrets of our life. But standing in front of all of that, right behind us, is Jesus, who covers our sins with the blood of His sacrifice on the cross. Our Savior wants us to see all that He has saved us from, so that when we begin to follow Him in front of us wherever He goes, we will trust that this resurrected one has grace upon grace upon grace, not just for our past, but also for our future. You may not even be a follower of Jesus this morning. You may not be a person of faith, but this Bible says that even if you're unaware or unwilling to acknowledge Him, God is right behind you. And He invites us this year to look back at our past and recognize that we need a Savior to stand right behind us and to cover our sins. And the only Savior that I know of that does that is Jesus Christ, God Himself, who took on flesh and gave His life for you and I. We will find God in 2015 every time we turn around and trust Jesus to cover our past. And once we have done that, we can trust to follow Him in front of us wherever He leads. God behind us, God in front of us. And if there's any question of how near God is to you at any point this year, the psalmist reminds us that we will find him with his hand upon our heads. It's a tender picture. It's the image of a mother or a father touching their child's hair. God is so with you. His hand tenderly rests on your head. But this tender touch offers more than just comfort. This tender touch of God, if you look throughout the Bible at places where God rests his hand on a person's life, it is always for two purposes. The first is blessing, and the second is assignment. The tender touch of God on the lives of those who trust him produces blessings that equip us and enable us to bless others. God's hand upon people is a way that he blesses us. We see Jesus doing this in the New Testament. It says that Jesus told the crowd, "Let the children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to them." And then placing his hand on their heads, it says, he blessed them. His tender touch also comes with God's assignment in our lives. God places his hand in the Exodus, the story of the Exodus, when God's people are fleeing from Egypt. It says that God placed his hand on Pharaoh and compelled him to let God's people go. In the New Testament, John the Baptist shows up on the scene, and God's hand, it says, is upon him to be a prophet to prepare people to receive Jesus. When God has an assignment for your life, he lays his hand upon you. And God's blessing and assignment always goes hand in hand. There is an assignment in the blessing. I have a friend who's in a men's group with me here at CA, and he's a young guy. I think he's still in his 20s. But he has a job that some people work for a decade or more to get. And he was telling me the other day that he often thinks, how did I get this job? It's amazing. Why has God blessed me with this dream job of mine, even when I'm so young? And he told me the other day that he was at work, and a coworker of his asked him, "Would you step into the copy room with me?" And so they got in there, and the door shut. And the guy, the coworker, said to him, "Hey, listen, I've been thinking a lot about life and about God and belief and faith and stuff. And I don't know what I think about that, but I know you're a Christian. Could we talk about what you believe sometime?" And my friend said it dawned on him in that moment, this is why I'm here. This is why I have this job. And what I love about that story is that my friend could have concluded, well, I got this job because I'm obviously that good at what I do. Or he could have concluded, I worked hard in college, I deserve this. Or he may have even concluded, I got this job because God wants me to be happy. But he recognized the assignment and the blessing. He was ready to take the assignment in his blessing. What lies ahead for you this new year? What is your assignment in 2015? What blessing are you holding on to, or maybe will you receive in this new year? And what assignment does it contain from God for you? Now, some of you were here with us in January of last year, and you might remember that we passed out note cards the last Sunday of last year. And I was here with you, and I asked you to write the name of somebody on that note card, the name of someone who needed to know Jesus, who needed to respond and follow him. And so many of us did that. We wrote names, and then we collected those cards and we hung them up all over campus as a reminder to be praying for those people and to be looking for an opportunity just to share the love of Jesus with them. So we had those hung up all over, and one of my favorite moments from 2014 was a Saturday night. I was walking up through the courtyard on that south side before the service, and there was a family sitting outside in the courtyard before the service started, and I went over and introduced myself, and the man told me his name, and when he told me his name, the little girl who was with him ran over to one of the note cards and pointed and said, "That's him right there, that's his name." And the guy looked kind of embarrassed, but it was the best kind of embarrassment that comes from being so loved by someone. Because that little girl was so excited that the person whose name her mom had written on that card was there with them. And even just last week, just last Saturday night at one of our Christmas services, I met a man who introduced me to his son, who had come with him, and his son was the name of the person that he had written on that card that he had been praying for to come to know his Savior. Who's waiting for us this year? Who's waiting for us in 2015 to tell them about Jesus? Who's waiting to know God in this new year? Will we see another 237? As a leadership team here at Christian Assembly, we've spent the last few months praying and talking together of what do we want to do? How do we want to pursue helping people come to know Jesus in the city of Los Angeles this year? And we set this new goal of 300 people making commitments to trust and follow Jesus. And we want that to be something that we're all a part of, that as a church family, we would just be people who are seeking for more and more people in Los Angeles to know the God who loves them, the God who is real and is for them through faith in Jesus Christ. And I want you to be part of that. In the center of your bulletin, don't look at it right now, but later there's a promotional for a Reach One training that we're going to talk about evangelism, and you might want to come to that. There will be opportunities all throughout the year for you to participate, maybe even for you on your own in your living room to help someone come to know Jesus. God's going before us. He's already stirring hearts and calling people to know Him. People all around us, even people that you know. And I want to invite you again this year to think of God, who is that person? Who are those people? There are note cards on the seat that when you came in, you probably found one. If you'd pick up that note card and the pencil, I just want you to, once again this year, write a name down on a card. Identify who is it that I'm going to be intentional about blessing this year, about loving with the love of Christ, about praying for. Who is it that I'm going to be intentional about sharing with them? This is who my God is. And He invites you to follow Him as well. Who will you help to know Jesus this year? Just write a name on that card. You don't have to write more than one. If all of us just wrote one name down and we're just praying for one person, just imagine how amazing that would be. And then write under the name, is it a friend or a neighbor or a coworker or a family member? Who is that person to you? I talked to someone this past week and told them that we were going to be doing this again, and they said to me, "Well, I'm going to be writing the same name that I wrote last year." And that's probably true for many of us. There are people who I'm still praying for, and that's perfectly okay. Write their name again. This is not an assignment to complete, not a project, but this is the kind of people that we want to be. This is the kind of local church in the city of Los Angeles that we want to be, who recognizes others' need for our Savior, for the one who is transforming our lives, and to be ready and to be intentional to look for others who need to know Him as well. God's hand is on your life this year with blessing, and there's an assignment in that blessing to help others know the Savior. The ushers are going to come with those blue buckets again just to collect those cards, and we will put those up in places to help us remember again this year to be praying for them. So just drop your card in the bucket, both on the south side and the north side. And Jacob, wherever you are, if you'd come and join me as we wrap up. The Lord goes before us, and He is following us, and His hand is laid upon our heads. Whatever you face in 2015, I want you to be reminded that that is where you will find God. It is God's great desire, not that we earn it or convince Him to be with us, but His choice to be so near you that you cannot escape His presence. I love my children. I have four small children, and I love them. And because I love them, I know where they are. I don't misplace my children. Sometimes I kind of want to, but I don't, because I love them. How much more does God love us? How much more will God never let you out of His sight, never let you out of place from Him? What will we find in 2015? We can be sure of nothing except for this. The Ancient of Days is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our great God is the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Every day of 2015, every day, we can turn to the Savior who is behind us and follow the Lord who is right in front of us and receive His hand of blessing. It is His delight to place His hand on your life. Will you trust Him? Will you live mended into life with God? And will you call out for others to come and rest in His tender strength? Let's say that verse together once more before we sing and before we're done. Could we have that verse back on the screens, both on the south side and the north side here? And let's read it once more together. Ready? You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. That is true for you and I. That is our God. And He is so committed to you and I to do that for us. You will find Him there in 2015. We're going to sing a song, and as we do, I want you to just open your heart and your mind and let God speak to you and let Him show you whatever it is that He's inviting you to this year. Maybe He's inviting you to recognize a blessing that you're holding on to and recognize the assignment in that. Maybe He's asking you to recognize a neighbor who needs to know the love of Jesus. As we sing, however God leads you, you respond.